Argyle is directed by Matthew Vaughn and stars Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell, Henry Cavill, John Cena, Dua Lipa, Bryan Cranston, Sofia Boutella, Ariana DeBose, Catherine O'Hara, and Samuel L. Jackson. When the plots of reclusive author Ellie Conway's fictional espionage novels begin to mirror the covert actions of a real-life spy organization, quiet evenings at home become a thing of the past. Accompanied by her cat Alfie and Aiden, a cat allergic spy, Ellie races across the world to stay one step ahead of the killers as the line between Conway's fictional world and her real one begins to blur. Hey everyone, welcome back to Movie Morning, and I am here to review the latest, well, I guess say, big film to hit theaters, Argyle. This is the latest and I believe eighth movie from Matthew Vaughn, one of my absolute favorite directors who's directed great movies like X-Men First Class, Kingsman the Secret Service, Layer Cake. This guy knows how to make fun crime or spy thrillers, even great comic book movies. He's made two great ones already and hopefully more. I don't know. We will see, I guess. And he is one of my favorite directors in terms of his style. I do find that lately in the past 10 years, ever since Kingsman the Secret Service, with his Kingsman sequel and then the Kingsman prequel, I think his style is often the most interesting thing about his movies. But that does mean that I will always get at least a fun visual treat with his movies, with a nice energy, even if the movies don't really work for me overall, like his last two movies haven't. And I was really hoping Argyle wouldn't head down that negative path that I think Matthew Vaughn's movies have been going on over the past like 8 or 9 years. And I was hoping this would be a lot more in line with the first Kingsman, and again, a movie like Layer Cake and X-Men First Class. So does Argyle fall closer to them, or is it yet another movie from Matthew Vaughn that does feel pretty disappointing after he started off his career with so many bangers? Well, you can find out in this review. And the backstory behind this movie and the book it's based on, but not really based on, has been so fascinating, along with the trailers, that this movie got what made me even more excited to see it. And this was, I believe, on my honorable mentions, definitely one of my top 15 most anticipated movies of the year. And I was really hoping I'd get another great spy film from Matthew Vaughn. And you can find out whether I did right now. And overall, I would say this is a movie that picks its target demographic and leans so hard into making it, you know, making a movie that they're going to enjoy. Because for me personally, I am big into spy films and action films and movies, a lot of which Matthew Vaughn have made. And because of that, I feel like this movie was made directly for people such as myself who absolutely love this genre, and not so much for people who aren't big fans of the genre, who don't really like spy movies. So for me personally, this film gave me a lot of what I was hoping to get when it comes to the trailers. So for me personally, I had a really good time watching this movie, even though there are tons of problems, and I would not call this a great movie by any means. This is not one of Vaughn's best, but I definitely had fun once I got the tone of the film and what they were really going for. Once I managed to settle into that, I think I had a really fun time, because this is an over-the-top spoof slash celebration of spy movies. It's a very meta movie, like the trailers imply. It's very much a Zemeckis-style Romancing the Stone-esque premise that this movie starts off on, and it just goes through all the spy tropes, some of which Vaughn himself has used, whether that's in X-Men First Class or the Kingsman films, and not only makes fun of them, but it plays hard into them. And that's why I feel like people who watch spy movies regularly will have more fun with this, because they're leaning into it, but in a very tongue-in-cheek way, and sometimes literally winking at the audience. And because of the world they've set up and how it feels and looks very mundane initially, once things start to unravel, it's very fun to go through all those. And there are so many twists in this movie, and so many of them just put back to back to back in the final half, in the back half of this movie, that it always keeps you guessing, and it's always throwing you off constantly. Now, there are some predictable twists, like there always are in spy movies, but there are some that can be very clever and are very unique, and I really enjoyed seeing them play out in Matthew Vaughn's twisted, you know, again, spy action movie. And Vaughn definitely goes for it with the colorful style that he has become pretty much known for. This film is so silly. It is not only a celebration of that stuff, but it is the most extreme version of all of the spy tropes and crazy gadgets and bright colors and insane and very silly spy organizations that you can see. It is all of that taken to the extreme, and it very much fits Matthew Vaughn's style. The action is, again, very silly, it is not realistic, and it is an absolute blast. And Vaughn embraces all of it and all its absurdity. And he just brings a really nice energy that is just a very fun, very lean watch, even if the movie is too long. And I'll get into that a bit later. And to talk very quickly about Matthew Vaughn, he's not only a director who I love seeing his movies, but I absolutely love hearing him talk about movies. He's very open and honest with the process, how he got started, and his relationship with different studios, and why he prefers to make movies independently and then try to get them distributed. And I just love listening to this guy talk about movies. And I wish he made more movies only for the fact that we get more long-form interviews with him, because the few we've gotten have been some of my favorites when it comes to listening to directors talk about how they made it into the business and all that. And I just love listening to him. I think it gives a lot of really interesting tidbits into the industry. But not only that, I'm a big fan of his director. So this movie gave me two sides of Matthew Vaughn that I love, which is great. And I think the humor also lands very well. You've seen in the trailers that there's a cat in this movie by the name of Alfie, and he steals every single scene he's in, and he's very funny. And there's a lot of jokes in this movie, and I would say like 80 to 90% of them at least got a smile out of me. And for me personally, getting a smile out of me is pretty much the equivalent of getting a laugh out of a lot of other people, because I'm not, I will say, not the easiest laugh when it comes to watching movies, especially in a movie theater, which I find kind of weird. But because of that, I actually give this movie a lot of props for being very consistent in its humor. Again, a lot of it is kind of the modern-day PG-13 style humor, but I wouldn't say it feels like, for example, Marvel humor. And I think a lot of the big part of that is because a lot of the cast in this movie is just giving very fun performances. Some of the biggest ones for me are definitely Sam Rockwell. We'll talk about it in just a second. But even little appearances like by John Cena and Samuel Jackson, who are not in the movie very much at all, they have a few really nice and really funny moments. And again, a big part of that is because of the rest of the cast as well. Now, Bryce Dallas Howard is the lead of this movie, not Henry Cavill, like the poster and the beginning moments of the trailers will lead you to believe. But I think she does a really good job of playing against type by the time we move through the rest of the movie. And I haven't been the biggest fan of her as an actor from what I've seen of her. And honestly, I prefer her as a director, and I would love her to direct actual big budget movies, because from seeing her episodes on Star Wars, whether that's Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, I think she has the talent to do that. But when it comes to her performance in this movie, it's definitely one of the ones where I've enjoyed the most. And again, a large part of that is because of the writing, the humor lands. But the standout for me was absolutely Sam Rockwell, who is the spy or secret agent I never knew I needed. I love Sam Rockwell, I always have, and I've always wanted to see him do something that's so against what we're used to seeing him. In this movie, he gets to play a full-on action hero. And they do a really great job of not only building up his character, but his relationship with Bryce Dallas Howard's character, Emily Conway. And I feel like over the course of the movie, I actually grew to really like their dynamic, but more specifically what they're doing with Sam Rockwell's character of Aiden, who is, again, a lot of the action scenes are so much fun. It feels so not what you'd expect from just looking at the character, what he actually turned out to be. He's such a blast, and I want to see him do more movies like this. But then again, because he's never done one, that's probably why it makes this role so much more special. But he is such a blast in this movie. And we also have, again, characters like the one played by Henry Cavill, who is not in a lot of the movie, and he is marketed in the trailer as, you know, Agent Argyle, or at least the one that we think it is initially, and then all gets revealed as the movie goes along. He is definitely a little underused, but I feel like the moments he did have, he does play, I will say, a crucial role, especially in Emily Conway's character. And I do think his role at least left an impact. And he definitely gets to play a very Ian Fleming-esque James Bond. And I like seeing him in that role. And he is still my pick to play the next Bond. It's not going to happen. It's been too long since he auditioned the very first time, basically 20 years ago. But I would still love to see it. And again, this is just a very lean, very fun action movie of sorts. That's just a very easy watch. It's very superficially entertaining. And it just gives its target audience, including me, a very silly and fun time that I'm at least going to leave remembering, because again, it is so excessive in so many ways. But I will say, just to give you a few headers before you go see the movie, these aren't necessarily good or bad things. First thing I will say is, although it is a movie that plays into a lot of the spy tropes, I will say it almost feels a bit more of like an action or rom-com movie filled with a lot of spy elements. So if you're going in expecting a full-on espionage movie, that's not exactly what the movie is. And second thing I will say is I feel like the ending and mid-credits scene of this movie, which is so spoilerific that I even like talking a little bit about it, I'd be giving away so much about this movie, were almost a bit more confusing and frustrating than interesting teases. That being said, though, it clearly did its job, because I will be first in line day one for more installments out of this universe, even if I didn't think this movie was all that great or anything. And it doesn't necessarily have to be sequels. And if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about, because there are some absolutely insane teases at the end of this movie that felt like, after going through such a movie with so many plot twists, I almost feel like we got to explore a little bit more of in this movie itself, even though, again, I think it's overlong, and I'll get into that right now. Because when it comes to my problems with this movie, number one, I feel like there's just a bit too much excess. It's not even just in terms of the silliness, but even in terms of the plot itself, how insane it goes, the amount of plot twists there are in this movie. There's like 8 that happen in like a 40-minute span. And it's weird because the first half of the movie plays pretty conventional compared to where it ends up going. And it just feels like there's way too many just going on top and on top of each other. That some of them, by the time there are like 3 different twists, one of them kind of make the other 2 obsolete. That it almost feels like you're kind of just throwing the audience for a loop. That I feel like to watch this movie again, it would almost be frustrating how long it takes to reveal certain things. Because again, it's trying to be so topsy-turvy. I feel like this movie is probably going to be a lot less engaging and exciting on a second watch, because so much of it relies on the topsy-turvy nature of how this movie plays out. And I don't think as many of the twists make a huge impact on the actual movie with thinking back as much as Matthew Vaughn hoped when making a movie like this. And I feel like that's where the whole excess and the whole complaint about Matthew Vaughn not being able to restrain himself when it comes to this movie really comes from. And that's just how many twists, how many different directions the plot goes in the back half of this movie. Then I almost feel like this movie doesn't even really find itself until we get pretty far into the runtime. And speaking of, this movie is definitely a little too long. What a transition and segue that was. This movie is about, I would say, 20 or closer to 25 minutes too long. And that's because this type of movie, that's again very exciting, but also a very superficially entertaining kind of popcorn movie, I feel like a lot of people have started to get tired over the last couple of years. Personally, for me, this is still the kind of the movie that I love to watch after a long and tiring week, or even like on a Sunday afternoon, even though, again, I watched this movie on a Saturday afternoon, but whatever, you know what I'm talking about. This is the kind of movie that I do feel like, to be more rewatchable, to be a movie that people will have more fun with over the course of its entire runtime, does need to be a little shorter than the 2-hour and 20-minute movie we got, especially because there is also a mid-credit scene in this movie. And again, speaking on that whole excess, because of how many twists there are, this movie is very messy from a plot perspective in every single way. There are a lot of plot beats, particularly in the first half of the movie, that once you know a lot of the secrets behind the scenes and what some of the characters, especially the lead character, Emily Conway, and what's actually going on with her, why is she so meta in terms of the story she's telling, why are they actually happening in real life, some of the plot beats start to not really add up, especially in terms of the timeline, once you know about a lot of these twists. And once the cat is out of the bag, no pun intended, on a lot of these twists and a lot of these secrets that this movie has been hiding from you in the marketing, which I think they've done a really good job of hiding, a lot of the first half of the movie does not only again start to feel a little obsolete, it also starts to not add up. And I think that's a little disappointing when you have a movie that presents itself as being very clever. Sometimes it's not as smart as it makes itself out to be. And there is also quite a bit of tonal whiplash. Again, like I said, this movie is very silly, and it is so silly. Certain scenes early on in the movie feel really out of place because early on in the movie, it's pretty mundane in a lot of its execution. But even by the end, there are a couple scenes that are trying to be emotional, payoffs and moments that do are meant to have dramatic weight, that because scenes very close to it are super silly in terms of just the action, what's happening. There's a scene involving roller skating, which some people are gonna think is one of the dumbest scenes in any movie they've seen in years. For me personally, by that point, the movie had gone so far into the silly territory and so over the top in the amount of twists there were, that I actually enjoyed that scene. But there were moments surrounding it that were trying to have more dramatic heft that I feel like felt a little off, because again, that stuff was so far beyond and so far above reality that it just, again, very silly. And last thing I'll say, this, something that did bug me in this movie that really grated on me by the third act, is the product placement. Because as you all know, this movie was initially produced and picked up by Apple TV Plus before they paired up with Universal to give this movie a theatrical release and a bigger budget. And there is so much Apple products in this movie. I'm not usually someone who talks about product placement because I feel like people over-exaggerate how much it actually impacts them. But in this movie, it is so distracting. There are scenes where literal MacBooks take up like half the screen. And there's one scene in this movie involving Samuel L. Jackson where he has like 3 iPads in just in the eye line of the audience, in the middle of the screen, the stuff that you are literally going to see before anything else. And it was pretty distracting, and it really pulled me out of, again, this very heightened, over-the-top, excess spy world Matthew Vaughn was trying to create. And I wish either he or Apple didn't need to feel the need to just force so much of it in there, because at a point, it's just getting ridiculous. And I hope, like, when you can, like, a movie like Killers of the Flower Moon obviously couldn't have any, same with Napoleon, because of where they take place. And I almost feel like Apple TV Plus made up by just throwing all the product placement that should have been spread out over three movies into this movie, which is absolutely absurd. A terrible idea, and they should not have done that. But overall, as a fan of spy movies, and for a movie that leans into all of that, and from a director I like with Matthew Vaughn, I had fun with this very silly and very over-the-top adventure, very Romancing the Stone-esque. It can be very clever. There's tons of insane twists back to back. It's got a colorful style. The humor is lands well. Sam Rockwell and Bryce Dallas Howard are a blast together as the leads. I had fun with this movie, even if, again, it is very silly. There's too much excess in the plot and the runtime, and there's definitely a lot of tonal whiplash. I still had fun by the end of this, and I can't deny that. I'm going to give Argyle a B-. And overall, I'd say if you're a fan of Matthew Vaughn and you're a fan of spy movies, the types that this movie are riffing on, like, for example, James Bond or whatever that is, I do think you'll at least have a fun, if not slightly forgettable, if not slightly over-the-top time with this movie. I do recommend you check this thing out in theaters when you have the chance, but it's not one you have to check out in the next, like, couple of days. It's not one you have to check out opening weekend. If you win a couple tickets to this movie, I think that would be the perfect circumstance to watch this movie in. But that's only going to be a couple people, so that's, again, quite unrealistic of a circumstance to put on you in terms of you going to see this movie. But I think for everyone else, you could easily just wait to rent or stream this movie if you're not into this genre, if you're not a big fan of a lot of the cast in this movie, which, come on, there's tons of really fun people in this movie. But I think if you like Matthew Vaughn and you like spy movies that this movie is, again, playing up on, you are the target audience for this movie, and I think you'll have a fun time with an audience when you eventually check this out, which I guess you might not get if you wait a bit for just when you have time, which I feel like, again, is probably the more right circumstance, not to go into this movie with super high expectations. Everyone else, though, again, like I said, not huge into Matthew Vaughn style, think he's whatever, style over substance, or whatever people like to say about him, then I think you could just wait to rent or stream this movie, which I don't know why I said all that twice. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening, as always. And if you guys see the movie, let me know what you think by entering the Q&A section that I'm going to be putting up after I post this review. I'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.